This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
Now, this is the only car on the market that comes equipped with a Dynaflex Superflowing Unijet Turbovasculator, which is synchromeshed with a multicoil hydrotension duo vacuum dynamometer. Gosh, what does that do for the car? It empties the ashtray.
Taxi, taxi, take me anywhere. Take me anywhere. Gonna ride all night and even pay my fare.
That beats the heck out of the theme from the Taxi TV show, doesn't it, folks? It's Sunday night, and this is the place to be. WOR 710, the Taxi Dave Show. And I'm Taxi Dave. We have a few guests this evening. In a few moments, we'll be speaking with Todd Higgins. He's the managing partner for Crosby Higgins, LLC. And he's lead attorney in the lawsuit regarding against the City of New York and the Taxi and Limousine Commission that all of you seem to be interested in with updates. We'll also be speaking with John McDonough, and he's the cab activist, and he'll be telling us a bit about the Fringe Festival. And then you think you're done with hot dog eating contests the 4th of July at Nathan's? Nah, Caroline Cummings is going to come on and tell you about another one that's coming up, okay? But, you know, it's pretty interesting. For all you folks who ride the subways during the summer, I've done it myself many, many times. And the average platform, if it's, you know, 95 degrees outside, is probably 120 degrees on the subway platform. You know, lack of air conditioning. You hope to get some type of breeze. And also, what you'll notice on many platforms, it's difficult to find a garbage pail. A garbage can. Okay? It's summertime, you're drinking liquids, you're trying to keep cool, you know, you're chewing something. Where do you throw your stuff? Well, it's interesting that the MTA, the subway system, for 2 weeks is going to have a cleanup program. They advertise this to clean up, not the platforms, but to clean up all 469 track stations. They're going to clean up the tracks at all the stations. Yeah, you know why the tracks are filled with garbage? Because they don't have enough garbage cans! All right? I'm telling you, my stop in Queens, the garbage can is at one far end of the platform, and it's filled, and there's almost as much garbage. You know, it's taller than I am. It's unbelievable. So, you know, are they, you know, as Claudette says, are they encouraging the rats to enjoy yet another meal? It's crazy. You know, is this part of the new campaign to feed the rats? You know, I'm missing something here. What am I missing here? We'll clean the traps, but the tracks, but garbage cans? Oh, no, we're not going to add more garbage cans. So, thank you, MTA, for another brilliant moment. Our phone number here, by the way, is, if you want to jot it down, if you're not driving, 800-321-0710. And our email address is taxihale@AOL. And as always, we'll read your emails, you know, live on the air. Some interesting stuff this week. Actually, there was a meeting, I should say a public forum, down at the New School. And the Metropolitan Transportation Authority was there, the MTA. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey was there. You had politicians, assembly people, congressmen. You had the Taxi and Limousine Commission there. It just seemed to be, if you're in transportation, that's the place to be. Even, you know, Adonis Rodriguez, the chairman of the New York City Transportation Committee Council, Transportation Committee of the New York City Council was there. So there was a lot of stuff discussed. Oh, and I can't forget Beta V. Desai from the Taxi Workers Alliance. And there were a lot of things she discussed with drivers. Now, I've actually put this in August's Taxi Insider newspaper. Okay, distribution started already. And just tell me what you think of the new look when you see it. So as far as the drivers go, here, this is a quote. We dictate what the income of the taxi driver is because we set the fare, okay, on the taxi ride, and we set the maximum amount that anyone can lease a car and a medallion out to a driver. So we can figure out what the income of a taxi driver is. Doing that analysis, we know that over the last 6 or 7 months compared to last year, there's been a decrease of about 3 to 5% in income for taxi drivers. That's not accounting for the fact that people may actually be leasing them out at lower than the lease cap, because we do our analysis assuming that everyone is leasing at the lease cap. If you want to read a little more, it's in the Taxi Insider newspaper. On accessibility, here's some interesting facts. We now have over 500 yellow cabs in circulation, and on the green side, they have about 800 accessible green taxis in circulation, and we are looking to bring more on. That's two words. On rideshare, from our perspective, there's not a distinction between taxi and rideshare. All of it's a service where you pay the driver and you take from one place to another. That means we regulate consistently whether you're an Uber driver, an Uber vehicle, a taxi vehicle. You're going to come under our regulatory scheme. There are taxi standards that apply across the board. If you drive in any one of these sectors, you're going to do we're going to do a criminal back check, and a background check too. You're going to be fingerprinted, fitness review, and your DMV record. You know what's interesting? It would be nice if someone would enforce the illegal street hail issue. Someone needs to enforce the illegal street hail issue. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's go. It's nice regulating people, but without enforcement, what good are regulations?
Yeah.
Yeah, you tell them. Anyway, you've been waiting a couple of weeks for an update on the lawsuits. I know a lot of people have been listening. So with us now is Todd Higgins. He is the managing partner of Crosby & Higgins, LLC, and the lead attorney in both lawsuits. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show, Todd.
Good evening, Dave. How are you?
I'm fantastical, and I hope you're having a good summer so far.
I am indeed. Thank you.
Okay. Summertime, not that it's a bad thing, but judges tend to go on vacation, and municipalities seem to slow down. They're in first gear as opposed to fourth gear. So can you give us an update, as you wish, on both lawsuits right now?
Sure, Dave. And no doubt the wheels of justice turn just a little bit slower in the summertime. But we continue to be busy, both in the state case and the federal case. But, you know, even as we wait, you know, in the state case, we're prosecuting an appeal of that really fundamental question of whether or not an EHEL actually constitutes prearrangement, whether the TLC have the discretion to characterize it that way. And that's the fundamental question on appeal in the state case. We actually filed a motion last week asking the appellate division to expedite consideration of that appeal. So that's pending. And we're waiting in federal court for
so
a ruling.
Let me just interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
So you filed a motion to expedite the appeal.
Correct.
Okay. And
so that's just to get it on the calendar and heard sooner.
When do you expect to get hear when it will be on the calendar?
I think there's going to be argument on the appeal, you know, in the early fall, whether that happens in October or September or first part of November. You know, it's hard to say, but I think we're going to be heard pretty soon on this, and it really is, you know, the sort of the threshold question here that started the parade of horribles that have followed, and it really is this question of, you know, what's an email? And what we all know, and your listeners probably know, is once upon a time, the TLC's counsel took the position that an e-hail was just what it sounds like. It's a hail. And, 3 years later, the position is that it's a form of prearrangement. So that's really the question that's at the heart of the appeal. And, you know, with that question goes everything that follows. And, you know, you said something really interesting. I want to make sure we talk about it a little bit because, you know, as I listened to you talk about that forum, the transportation forum earlier this week, as you know, in the federal case, what we say in the federal court is, look, if put aside for a minute what the TLC has done in opening up the market in a manner that it has, in allowing e-hails to really eviscerate the basic hail.
Eviscerate? Can you explain that to me?
Destroy totally, completely, and unrelentingly. That's how I would define it. And that is what has happened to hail exclusivity in the age of e-hails. But we say in federal court, put aside that question for a moment. If you're going to let these businesses operate side by side, you've got to treat them equally. They're similarly situated, performing the same service for the same customers, operating against the same pool of drivers. You've got to treat them the same. That's the basic underlying issue on the equal protection claim in federal court. And I listened to you read the comments from this transportation forum that you were talking about earlier, and I think you were actually reading the TLC commissioner's comments about this question of whether there's a distinction between taxis and companies like Uber. And I feel like I'm living in an alternate universe, because here I am litigating this question and arguing until I've literally lost my voice that you've got to treat them the same because they are equal, and the court is hearing arguments day after day from the city that they are not the same, that they are very different. And then there you are reading a quote that says, from our perspective, there is no distinction between taxi and rideshare. All that is a service where you pay the driver to take you from one place to another. You can do it by smartphone. You can do it by sticking your hand in the air. We look at these services as one service, and we regulate accordingly. That means we regulate consistently, whether you are an Uber vehicle, an Uber driver, or a taxi vehicle. Really? Is that what your listeners are experiencing?
Well, it's funny because as far as equality, everybody's fingerprinted in New York City. I mean, nowhere else. I mean, does Uber do this? They do this because they want the workforce, the never-ending immigrant workforce in New York City for UberX. They don't care who's driving as long as somebody's driving and they can get their 25%. But, you know, vehicles are inspected and there are background checks and fitness reviews and they check your DMV record. So, you know, if you're promoting equality, then let's promote it 100%. I guess that's the bottom line.
And that's not to say that any of those things that you just outlined are wrong or a bad thing. Of course, they're the same, and they should be the same. But it doesn't get to the vast array of basic business model questions that remain radically unequal. Chief among them, accessibility. Fair flexibility. I mean, you talk about the MTA this summer and you talk about those hot, steamy platforms and, you know, you've got Uber out there offering unlimited rides for a weekly pass. You've got Lyft engaging in, you know, similar kinds of promotional strategies. And what is it all intended to do? It's intended to capture market share. How is one segment of the industry who is slated to compete head-on with another sector of the industry supposed to do that when it doesn't have the ability to respond, when it doesn't have the ability to operate like a normal market participant? It doesn't make any sense. You know, your listeners, of course, know all about the question of accessibility and the fairness of that. And, you know, I'm glad to see that the people who are really the greatest stakeholders in that question, the disabled community, finally really taking a hard position on this question of equality and fairness, because it's not.
We are enforced, yellow cabs have 80 years of regulation, we are enforced up the gazoo, okay? I mean, we're so enforced, I mean, we don't know what we're doing sometimes. Okay, guys get summonses, and sometimes unjustly, and sometimes when they go to pay them, you know, there's all this red tape now that's going on between Oath and TLC. At least that's what I'm seeing from drivers. Okay? I'm sorry?
Sort of victimized.
There we go. Yeah. Victimized. Yellow cab drivers are being victimized. But street hails are for yellow cabs. Equality doesn't mean that you don't enforce other vehicles that are picking up street hails. That's not the equality we want. Okay? We want equality where if our turf is below 96th Street and below 110th Street in Manhattan to pick up street hails, then no other vehicle should be picking up street hails. And I'm hoping, and I'm hearing something about an illegal street hail initiative to tow these cars. All right? It's going to happen. It has to happen. It's unfair and it's unjust. You know, this isn't equality for convenience, America. You know, what would Hamilton say? Can you get me tickets? What would Hamilton say? Okay? It's not equality for convenience. It's justice that we want. Justice whether it's illegal street hails. Justice whether, you know, if you want to press your smartphone and you're in your house, yeah, that's kind of pre-arrangement. But if you're on the corner and you press a smartphone, you get a cab instantaneously, that is a street hail!
Well, you know, Dave, the way I look at it when it comes to back to that question, and don't get me wrong, I appreciate the point about the pervasive issue of illegal street hails, and I think we all know that the problem is when you've got this number of vehicles that are operating equivalently as taxis throughout the city and the volume of them, that this is like an impossible problem to try to really enforce. And I think that the TLC knows that. It's extraordinarily difficult to do that. But, you know, from my perspective, that basic question, you know, you want enforcement, and sure, who doesn't want enforcement? But that's like begging for mercy at this point, because the real question is, you know, the 4.7 million rides in April or whatever the number is that Uber picked up, how many of them are coming from standing on the corner, pushing a button on your phone, and the car's in front of you, you know, in a minute? Now, here's the thing. When you push a button on the phone, there's no such thing as the car getting there too early. You know, you talk about prearrangement. That's got to be a meaningful concept. It's got to be a meaningful concept, and it's got to be a meaningful concept in the age of smartphones. It's as simple as that. It's a regulatory gap. People have put their head in the sand about it. And, you know, it's like you can talk about all the other questions you want, but until you confront the question head on and you say, what is it? You know, you're in the same position. So hopefully we're getting closer to that time.
Todd Higgins, the lead attorney in the lawsuits against, in a federal lawsuit and state lawsuit. He's the managing partner at Crosby Higgins LLC. Any last comment, Todd?
You know, I've been on your show twice, and I'm, you know, very much grateful and touched by the, you know, number of medallion owners and drivers and people who are in the industry and out there every day serving New Yorkers, working as hard as they can. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of words of support from your listeners and lots of other folks. And, you know, I want people to know that I appreciate it and that we're still fighting. And we're going to fight until there's nothing more we can do.
Okay. So you've heard the updates on the lawsuits, folks. Todd Higgins, thanks for being on the Taxi Dave Show.
Todd.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Hey, here's an email from Palo Alto. Just tuned in and on my iHeart Radio app. There you go. You can get the Taxi Dave Show on iHeart Radio. Hello, California. Here's an email from Frank. It's extremely demoralizing when people with bags by their feet wait for a black car while I sit by Bed Bath and Beyond with my roof light on waiting for a fare. Okay. And then we have a couple of other emails. But right now, let me take a caller here. Tommy, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm fantastical.
I have a question. I actually wanted to ask Todd Higgins this question regarding regulating Uber. Is there a way we can have the government change the law for them that if they want to do street hail, they have to have a 15-minute period, waiting period, for Uber passengers to get picked up?
Now, that's a great idea. That is
minimum
a great
10
idea,
or 15
Tommy.
Minutes. You know, if the customer wants to wait at the corner, it's a minimum 10 to 15 minute wait. I mean, now with the age of smartphones, you know, they can easily be regulated to do this.
And you would call that, would you call that a street hail, or would you call that something?
No, that would be a prearranged. That would actually be a prearranged.
That's right.
If the customer wants to stand in the corner in the rain, in the snow, or wherever, or in the restaurant, or in their apartment, that I would consider a prearrangement. Now, if he or she's standing at the corner, and there's a 15-minute waiting period, grace period, then it's up to the customer to decide, hail a taxi, or wait for the 15-minute Uber car to come pick them up.
All right, great suggestion, Tommy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Our phone number here is 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihail@aol.com. I'm Taxi Dave, and we are broadcasting live from the Melrose Studios out in Briarwood, Queens. Where's Briarwood? I don't know. I call it Jamaica, but Briarwood sounds so fancy-schmancy, so, you know, they say, oh, Briarwood. We're in Jamaica, Queens. That's where we are, overlooking the beautiful Van Wyck Expressway, as you know already. Okay, what you may not know is something called the Fringe Festival. What would you do if I told you that within a period of 16 days, there's going to be 200 shows and 1,100 performances? This is in New York City. Well, with us right now to tell us a little bit about one of the shows and more about the Fringe Festival is a good friend of mine, Mr. McDonough. Okay, John McDonough, how are you? Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Dave, we needed a little laughter. You sounded like you were stroking out there when you were talking about what's going on in the taxi industry, man. Jeez, come on. You sound like
passion.
You just got off a 12-hour shift and you couldn't pay for your lease. I mean, good God.
And I couldn't find a bathroom.
That's it, man.
So tell us about your show and then about the Fringe Festival.
Well, it's about my 35 years of driving a yellow cab in the city and some of the crazy things I've been involved with. And not so much about picking up people in the back seat and stuff like that. It's a lot of it has to do with reality shows that I got involved with. And because of the Internet, people were able to see stuff on YouTube. So I ended up trying out for The Amazing Race. I was on one reality show that was on the Learning Channel that was so bad it only aired in Southeast Asia, so I'm a big hit down in Jakarta, and things
all
like
right.
that.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Jakarta
and,
John.
And then I ended up on Fox Television for a minute and 50 seconds before Neil Cavuto threw me off. I was offering free rides to the airport.
I remember that. That was during the Republican convention?
Yeah. I wanted to get Bill O'Reilly out to the airport because he said he wanted to go fight. He didn't want to go to Vietnam, but he wanted to go to Iraq, so I figured I'd drive him there. it's things like that, vignettes like that, with the actual videos, the newspaper articles at the time. And it's a one-hour show just telling all those stories and going through the history of the cab industry from the late 70s up until today and just the changing, climate on what's going on and listening to, you know, the lawyer there and everything. I mean, we're watching it right before our eyes, just the change that's going on.
John, are you driving now or not so much?
Yeah, no, I drive two days a week.
My question is here. I just got an email from a frustrated driver. Where is the TLC? There are over 2,000 gypsy cabs with Uber and Lyft signs and private plates roaming the streets of Manhattan, making pickups. I don't see any enforcement. I am frustrated. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you see it, but see, you don't know.
How does everybody see it and nobody enforce it? I don't get it.
And then you have what's the nonsense going on at the airport. I mean, that's even worse to me.
Oh,
like, you're coming out of there. Everybody's trying to hawk people coming out. And I don't know if they're on demand or what the story is, but you know, we're being overwhelmed. The yellow cab industry, I'm telling you, is overwhelmed between new technology and just the illegal things that are going on. It's just,
okay.
But back to some laughter.
Back to some laughter.
Yeah.
So where can they see the Captivist?
I have five shows starting next Sunday at the Soho Playhouse, and that's at 15 Van Dam Street. It's a urine club downstairs, and I would give you
15 Van Dam Street. What time is your first show?
Well, the first show is next Sunday at 8:45. That's a great time on Sunday. Yeah, there'll be a lot of people going out. Right now, I've sold all of five tickets, so I'm planning to go to each person's house and just do the show from there. It would be a lot easier than what's going on. And what I have said, that if that ticket sale remains at that, I will hang myself at the end of the show. So this way, there'll be... To entice people to come to the other shows. But
I heard Bill Riley's going to come to see that.
Oh, he'll buy the rope. What are you kidding? But the other shows, I feel like when I look at it, and this has to do with the Fringe Festival, like I'm at Penn Station, you know, August 17th, 5:15 to Ronkonkoma, August 20th, 5 o'clock to Mineola. I mean, it's all different dates, all different time frames. But the best way to do is go to cabdivist.com, CABTIVIST.com, or fringenyc.org. That's FRINGENYC.org. And just look under C and you'll see Cabdivist. And you can pick any of the dates. And I do mean any of the dates. You don't have to worry about it being sold out. And pick one of the dates there because, you know, it's early afternoon, it's late afternoon, it's on the weekend, it's in the weekday. So, as I say, there's no excuse for whoever's left in New York City at the end of August.
We got an email from a listener. Ask the guy what his craziest cab story is.
You know what? I think one of the craziest ones, I was involved with a documentary with a guy named Stephen Fry. And he's a world-famous actor out of England, and he wanted to see my New York as a cab driver. So I grew up not too far where you're talking about, Briarwood. I'm in Middle Village, Queens. And I took him to a mob club in Middle Village, and he met the boys. And the conversation between him and the boys was just unbelievable. And that was in a documentary, which actually won Best Documentary of the Year. Got a BAFTA award in London. So I tell that story and show the video of... myself and Stephen Fry going to the club. So it's stories like that. It's not so much about people in the back or anything like that. Like, I always start off the show with, you know, you might not know this, but I'm white. And you might be wondering, how do I know that? Because almost every day when I'm driving, people get into the cab and they go, hey, you're white, and you speak English. Now, Dave, do you think of any other job, people going in somewhere and telling the person working the job, hey, you're white? And then they want to know, what's it like being a cab driver? Well,
maybe
I said...
A bleach factory? I don't know.
Yeah, I say, well, you want to know what it's like to be a cabbie? Sit in your chair for 12 hours, urinate into a bottle, and have the person behind you vomit. I said, now you know what it's like to be a cab driver in New York.
Welcome to New York City, folks.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. Listen, let me tell you something.
That's a great advertisement.
You know, this English stuff, and you speak English. Let's make it very clear, and you know it, John. Every single New York City taxi driver must take an English proficiency test for the last 80 years.
Yeah, okay? But they think they've come up with this great revelation. Like, you know, I didn't know that before they got in, that I was white and I spoke English. Like, you know, the way they're telling me. Yeah, yeah, I said, oh, that's great.
I know, you didn't have a mirror till you were 39. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, I mean, so I tell anecdotes like that and... like showing newspaper articles. Okay. One of the most bizarre things was I took the cab down to Worth Street when Bernie Madoff was sentenced and went down in support of him and held up a sign, support the Ponzi One. And I said, he's a Queens guy, and I was showing some Queens love to Bernie. But what I didn't figure in, the victims started showing up, and they were in the state of shock. They wanted to kill me.
They didn't have a sense of humor, huh?
Oh, no, they did not see the humor after they lost millions of dollars. One guy said to me, what did you lose to Bernie Madoff? I said, I just parked the cab. It cost me $40. I said, he didn't see the humor in that either. So I showed the newspaper articles from that day of me almost being lynched by Madoff victims down on Worth Street. But
John McDonough, thanks for calling into the Taxi Dave Show. Once again, the Captivist, how can they find out about
it? Okay, it's at the Soho Playhouse, 15 Van Damme Street. You can go to two places, fringenyc.org or cabdivist.com, CABTIVIST.com. Come and see me down at the Soho Playhouse, and you'll get a couple of laughs anyway. And these depressing times of being a yellow cab driver.
Thanks a lot, John, for being on the Taxi
Dave
Show.
I know. Thanks for having me on, man. Thanks.
All right. When we come back, our phone lines are backing up here. We have some emails to read. So, and then we have more guests coming on, or at least one more guest. So I'm Taxi Dave. We are broadcasting from the Melrose Studios out in Jamaica, Queens. Briarwood, my dear. Briarwood, Queens. Jamaica, Queens, wherever it is. Okay. But it is a state-of-the-art studio they built just for the radio show. So I'm honored. You know, I love driving 2 hours to do a radio show and then 2 hours back. It's something that I love to do. Yes, I am. Okay, we're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Don't forget to support Melrose Credit Union, and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If the relationship that you have with your bank is the third teller from the left, then maybe it's time to rethink your relationships. At Melrose Credit Union, they believe you should get much more from a banking relationship. That's why they provide their members with a business services specialist, a dedicated individual who takes the time to get to know you and who is responsible for handling every single interaction you have with the credit union. So you can continue to wait for teller number three or head over to Melrose Credit Union. They look forward to getting to know you.
Gifford Insurance Company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Gifford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at HerefordInsurance.com, www.HerefordInsurance.com, or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. You, too, can join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. You can now own a brand-new 2016 wheelchair-accessible vehicle for no money down. You'll earn 50 cents for every trip you take, plus $16,000 over 4 years. The car basically pays for itself. And to top it off, the first week is free. Say Taxi Dave sent you. And the first week is free. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. With many cars available, new or used, work with the folks who have a great reputation. Call Max or Mr. L at 718-361-0055. Must meet certain requirements. So say Taxi Dave sent you, and you'll get 1 week free. Berlin Brokerage is one of New York's oldest and largest insurance brokers, specializing in all forms of TLC insurance. They represent many insurance companies for black cars, luxury and car service vehicles, medallion taxis, and green cabs, so you can be assured that you will get competitive pricing. You can get your TLC required liability insurance, as well as fire, theft, collision, and workers' compensation coverage. Pearland can also help you with your personal and other commercial insurance. For your convenience, Pearland has 6 offices located throughout the city. To find their locations and hours of operation, visit their website at pearlandbrokerage.com. For all of your insurance needs, go to Pearland.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
Now, I hope you guys have an extra hour. 1 hour is really not long enough.
I'll have no voice left if I do that every time.
Oh, get my baby down around the block. I'm going down to the beauty shop and get my hair styled. Don't stop and talk. I'll tell everything I know.
Taxi Dave Show is back on WOR 710. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And, Phil sent in a couple of jokes. Let me just go through this quick. I know it's a serious show, but we do have to laugh in life. A thief stuck a pistol in a man's ribs and said, "Give me your money." The gentleman, shocked by the sudden attack, said, "You can't do this to me. I'm a United States congressman." The thief then said, "In that case, give me my money." Okay. Sheila, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Taxi Dave. Please, first of all, I want to say I have a ticket to John's Place, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
All right, John.
Yeah, I have one. And let me just get my points out really quickly. I'll talk really fast. First of all, I think that exclusivity for yellow cabs to pick up street hails is a concept, and so is for immediate transport. It doesn't matter if you're using your hand or a smartphone. It's the same thing. I agree with what the other caller said about Uber having to wait longer, and that should be a longer stretch than 15 minutes because you can wait for a cab on the street for 15 minutes. So I think that is a good idea, but it should be a longer wait there, at least maybe half an hour. And I think that I'm really curious as to how the city and the TLC allowed Uber to come into the picture without having to invest in medallions like yellow cabs do, and how they've destroyed everybody's life. And I'm really curious about how that came to be, who made those decisions, who was appointed to do what, and to follow the money on that, because I'm really curious as to how that came about. It seems really illegal to me. And that's what I had to say.
Unfortunately, all that will come out when it's too late. And technology actually superseded legislation and laws and regulation. It was all new. You know, Uber being the biggest. I mean, they've gone to a number of states. I think they start with, like, the governors. And they sell something. You know, if New York is different than any other taxi service in the world. Others are becoming like New York because they followed our example. Okay? They followed what we did. But if you go out to, I don't want to pick a state and upset anybody who's listening, but, you know, let's say you're in a rural state somewhere and taxi service is so-so. So they come in and they say, hey, let's make all cars. Anybody who wants to with a private car can now become an Uber driver. So I've said it before, your grandmother, you know, your 16-year, I'm sorry, anyone with a license, you know, and any type of vehicle can become an Uber driver, and they sell it as an economic stimulant. You know, however, there are certain things that we have in New York City that other places don't have, right, like fingerprinting and background checks, okay? What if the vehicle isn't inspected? What if it's not in good shape? What if the driver's license was suspended? What if the insurance was suspended? It goes on and on and on, you know? But New York City is a little different. Anyway, thanks for calling the Taxi Dave Show. I guess I should read some... I have so much to read, I haven't read anything yet. We've just been talking. I guess this is a talk show, right? That's what we're supposed to do.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Oh.
Okay. Real quick from some cab drivers. Last night or a few nights ago, the city painted a solid white line to the right of the center line on 23rd Street between 7th and 8th Avenue heading west. You should see the traffic. They also put a no right turn sign on 6th Avenue at 23rd Street for westbound traffic, and also a no right turn sign at Broadway at 23rd Street for westbound traffic. So if you make a critical mistake to drive on 23rd Street headed west, there's no escape until you get to 8th Avenue. You have to see this to believe it. And now I hear ambulance sirens from my window at 22nd Street and 7th Avenue, trying to get through the traffic caused by these no right turns. Oh, there you go. And speaking of right turns, we also got another email here. Well, from Pat. Pat says, just notice that you can no longer make a left turn from 23rd Street onto 6th Avenue and 8th Avenue. Time to get the DOT commissioner back on your show again, Taxi Dave. All right, Pat. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. How many partners can chip in for an individual medallion and for a mini fleet corp? Okay. An individual medallion? I've seen two partners. You know, I don't know what the future's going to bring, but you can have a partnership on it. Usually one drives days, one drives nights. That's the way they always started. For a mini fleet corp, you can buy 10%. Of a medallion, of a mini fleet medallion. I guess you can buy 10% of any medallion, actually. So you can have up to 10, technically, on a medallion. Gets a little crowded in there. Okay? And the 12-hour rule, once again. All right. You know what? We're going to... The 12-hour rule doesn't mean that if you're parked at the airport, that time's coming off. If you get up and you start working at 6 and your first fare is at 10 o'clock in the morning, guess what? From the time of your first fare, you have 12 hours. If during that time you spend 3 hours waiting at the airport at JFK, you get an extra 3 hours that you've waited. So it's added on. It's not from the time you sit in the car till the time you get out. It's all based on fares, on hourly increments, okay? If you don't have a fare for 45 minutes... you don't get any extra time. But if you don't have a fare for an hour and a half, you get an extra hour. Okay? So that's how it works. You know what? We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, sorry, we'll take the rest of your calls. Okay? This is the Taxi Dave Show brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. We'll take a couple of callers, and we'll have our last guest on towards the end of the show. You thought July 4th was the only time they ate hot dogs publicly in a hot dog eating contest. You're wrong. We like to have some fun here on the Taxi Dave Show, too. And I'm watching my salt intake, so I don't eat hot dogs anymore. But I love watching other people eat them and get fat. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Gifford Insurance Company is located at 3601 43rd Avenue in Long Island City, New York. Gifford has served the for-hire industry for over 20 years. We are very proud to meet your commercial auto, workers' compensation, and fire, theft, and collision needs. Please visit our website for additional information at HerefordInsurance.com. www.HerefordInsurance.com or contact us at 718-361-9191. Hereford Insurance, we help move New York. My father drove a yellow cab with Neil Greenbaum's father, Andy, who was the founder of All Taxi Management. You too can join the All Taxi family. Drive yellow and earn green. You can now own a brand new 2016 wheelchair accessible vehicle for no money down. You'll earn 50 cents for every trip you take, plus $16,000 over 4 years. The car basically pays for itself. And to top it off, the first week is free. Say Taxi Dave sent you. And the first week is free. All Taxi Management is located at 4125 36th Street in Long Island City, and that's conveniently located near the 7 train. With many cars available, new or used, work with the folks who have a great reputation. Call Max or Mr. L at 718-361-0055. Must meet certain requirements. So say Taxi Dave sent you and you'll get 1 week free. Berlin Brokerage is one of New York's oldest and largest insurance brokers, specializing in all forms of TLC insurance. They represent many insurance companies for black cars, luxury and car service vehicles, medallion taxis, and green cabs, so you can be assured that you will get competitive pricing. You can get your TLC required liability insurance as well as fire, theft, collision, and workers' compensation coverage. Pearland can also help you with your personal and other commercial insurance. For your convenience, Pearland has 6 offices located throughout the city. To find their locations and hours of operation, visit their website at pearlandbrokerage.com. For all of your insurance needs, go to Pearland.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
The best show on WOR. It's the only show I listen to.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking, like the dude of man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep trucking, oh, oh, oh.
You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show on WOR 710. It's Sunday night, and this is the place to be. I want to thank Phil Bunton for sending a couple of jokes in. He has his favorite blonde joke. Nothing against blondes. I love blondes. Blondes are wonderful people. But here's his joke. The assistant asked the blonde person if she would like her pizza cut into 6 pieces or 12 pieces. A 6, please, she said. I could never eat 12 pieces. And for all you folks who celebrate during the summer, don't drink and drive. Take a cab. Okay. Gloria, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Now, I agree with Sheila 100% what she talked about, but I believe that until someone doesn't really do an investigation of what transpired and how things got approved, and everything went under the table, and our politicians are investigated, our councilmen get investigated, nothing is going to get done.
Well, you know, Everybody in New York's being investigated. You know, it's incredible. I mean, people up in Albany, people wear wires. This one's wearing a wire. I think there's been more people indicted than there are in office. It's unbelievable. And I respect our legislators, believe me, our assembly people and our senators and our government. I really do, you know, respect them. And, you know, here I'm making fun of them. But you got to face it, you know. We in the taxi industry, if one guy does something wrong, the newspapers paint the whole industry in a bad light. You know, when it comes to some politicians, you can have 20 people over 5 years do something seriously wrong. There's only 50 of them. You know, I mean, come on. You know, maybe an investigation is due. You know, maybe an investigation is due. How did they get to this point exactly?
We were able to go above the law and change all the rules and regulations that have been in place for years, and they get whatever they want.
And also, we have an email that says, up to 4 people can own an individual medallion, 25% each share. I want to thank you for that. Okay, so I stand corrected on the individuals, and I just wanted to let you know on that. So, all right, well, I appreciate your calling, Gloria. It's a good point. And I wouldn't be surprised if investigations are going on now. I mean, investigations are going on with everybody everywhere, it seems. You know, be careful what you say on the phone. we're probably being taped right now. You think we're on a radio show or something. So thanks for calling the taxi.
Yeah, they could investigate me all they want.
Okay. Let's see. I've made... Oh, gosh. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, no dirty jokes on the air. People think that everybody's a comedian. Here's a silly thing I'm going to say. You know, the show's winding down. Caroline will be on in a second. Okay, a man had been out drinking for too long, and he couldn't get a cab at the end of the night, but he thought his luck changed because he left the bar, he walked to the gas station, and he found a convenient, unoccupied taxi right in front of him. Ready for this? And this is true. It wasn't a taxi. It was a police cruiser, and the cop was filling up with gas. Okay? The guy drank so much that he couldn't tell the difference between a taxi and a police car. So, you know, the officer was surprised, and he took the guy's information. He said, you know what, just for the heck of it, he was going to take him home like a taxi. He said, let me run this guy's background. And the man had an outstanding warrant on him, so the police officer arrested him and took him to the police station.
As well he should.
Okay? Dun, 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 dun. All right. So with us now is Caroline Cummings. She works with the local tap house of Nyack. Nyack is a beautiful village. As you know, they had a car show there a couple of weeks ago. There's 19 restaurants. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show, Caroline.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
You're quite welcome. So everyone knows about the 4th of July and the hot dog eating contest at that other place in Coney Island. So, and their kinds of hot dogs. So let's start. What are you doing at the local tap house of Nyack on August 13th?
Okay, so on August 13th, we're having a fundraiser to raise money for cystic fibrosis. And the fundraiser starts at 12, but the hot dog eating contest is going to start at 3.
Okay, and so it's a hot dog eating contest. How many people are participating in this hot dog eating contest?
Well, it's a walk-in contest. So if people decide at 2:55 the day of that they want to participate, they can. So we actually have no idea until 3 o'clock how many people will be participating.
Okay. How many hot dogs did the winner eat last year?
38.
Ooh. 38 in what period of time?
38 hot dogs, so there are different rounds.
Okay.
So they're elimination rounds.
Got it. Got it. And is this held inside the tap house or outside?
It's actually an outdoor event, yeah.
Oh, so there's plenty of room for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100 to 200 people are going to be expected.
Wow. So August 13th, is that, let's see, that's on Saturday, right?
It's a Saturday, yes.
13th,
and
it's...
Besides
what does the winner get?
The winner gets a gift card to the local. Last year was a $100 gift card, and they get a bunch of stuff from... we have a bunch of stuff donated from Captain Lawrence Brewery, which is right over in Westchester.
So this is a fundraiser?
So they're donating...
for
yes,
cystic fibrosis.
Beer and prizes.
That mm-hmm. starts at 12 o'clock in the town of Nyack, right? And where are you located
yes.
in Nyack?
4 South Franklin Street.
4 South Franklin?
Yes.
Is that in the middle of everything over there?
It's right across from the TD Bank.
Okay.
Which is right by Main Street.
And what kind of hot dogs do you serve? I'm curious. I'm thinking about going off my diet.
Don't worry, they're all kosher.
Oh, God. How did you know I was Japanese? Anyway. All right, Caroline Cummings, will you be there yourself on next Saturday?
Oh, I will be there, yes. I won't be participating, but...
Fundraiser at 12 o'clock for cystic fibrosis. It's a good cause, folks. And if you mm-hmm. hey, if you want some free hot dogs, bring your appetite. You know, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Thanks for coming on the Taxi Dave Show, Caroline. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. See? You got everything on the Taxi Dave Show. Here's something. The... Left-turn drivers, you know, are three times more dangerous than right-turning drivers. And the city council finally found that out after we've been talking about it for years. Actually, you know, Hereford Insurance Company did an internal report a couple of years ago, and they said it's like most of the pedestrians are hit with cars making left turns. So they did a report, and in the report, they're saying that the view is often obscured by the pillar between the windshield from the driver's side window. Okay, left-turn drivers are, in other words, forced to contend with drivers honking impatiently behind them and at the same time have to find gaps in the streams of oncoming traffic and pedestrians. So for reasons like those, between 2010 and 2014, there were 859 pedestrian and cyclist fatalities. 108 of them were caused by left turns. 108 caused by left turns. So crashes like this, they mostly occur when a vehicle turns from a narrow one-way street onto a wide two-way thoroughfare. Just some information there. What could I tell you? Okay. And we were going to do a whole show on bicycles as well. Here's something that I think everyone's going to find interesting. You know, Google's invested a lot of money in the autonomous car. And just now, they announced that their self-driving car also knows how to navigate around cyclists, but they do something that no one else's computers and robots do yet.
Brake.
They recognize... Yeah, brake. They recognize and understand and remember bicyclists' hand signals. You know, because bicyclists usually, they'll put their left hand out if they're going to make a left turn, or their right hand, or they may put their left hand up in the air if they're going to make a right turn, or who knows what they do. But what's interesting, in its monthly self-driving report, they state, and I quote, "Cyclists often make hand signals far in advance of a turn, and our software is designed to remember previous signals from a rider so it can better anticipate a rider's turn down the road." Unbelievable. Automakers and tech companies can outfit a car with vehicle-to-vehicle and vehicle-to-infrastructure technology, and that enables communication between two cars or between two things like traffic lights, okay? But a robot car needs not only be able to communicate its intentions to pedestrians, but also understand the pedestrian's intentions. Detecting and understanding human gestures is a hugely important part of that. That means that technology is capable of understanding things like a pedestrian waving a car by when he wants them to pass. Mercedes actually was the first to come up with understanding human gestures, but there's Google. You know, I guess they're, you know, they've invested $500 million, I think, in Uber. There's a lot of stuff going on. You know, does that mean Uber drivers are going to be replaced by robot cars?
I hope so.
Well, just think about it. Uber's making 25% of every fare. If there's no driver, how much of the fare do you think they're going to make?
All of it.
All of it. That's exactly right. Exactly right. So, the Tappan Zee Bridge. Anybody passed by the Tappan Zee Bridge lately? Well, the good news is that the new Tappan Zee Bridge they're building, they've reached the halfway point.
Yay!
Hey! And they laid more than a mile of concrete already. 35 of the 43 pairs of piers that are going to hold up the bridge are finished. By the way, the bridge is going to be 3.1 miles long.
Just like the old one.
Who else is going to tell you that? Yeah, isn't it amazing? It's really amazing. They're building a bridge that takes you to the same place and it's exactly the same length. Amazing. Okay. Last week, workers began laying the bridge's thick cables. Now, there's 192 cables, okay? And they're going to be attached to 8 40-story towers. You can see the towers. They're made out of concrete, okay, reinforced concrete. So if you're not doing anything and you're up near that area, it's really an amazing thing to see. It really is.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank our guests, Todd Higgins, John McDonough, Caroline Cummings. Okay, we had a really good show. I hope you folks found it informative. We're still the number one show on Sunday nights in New York City because of you. So here I am at the Melrose Studios, and we'll see you next week on the Taxi Dave Show. I got to go now. Hey, taxi. Hey, how about taking me down to the Battery Gardens for some dinner tonight? I'm hungry.
Trip out and grind it when life feels slow.
This has been a podcast from WOR.